Okay, it is Advent, and Rachel is going to come up and light the first candle.
There we go.
I was hoping that somebody else would have done the hooray, but...
Thank you. Should we just listen to this clip of music? Don't you love Graham Kendrick? And I love God because he's got the plan. You just read the passage before the passage we're going to look at when we think about Advent. It just flows and we didn't talk. God's got the plan. So in a minute, I'm going to invite Sally to light the candles, Sally Petit, because she's got a special connection with Graham Kendrick. Ask her about it. She'll tell you all about it. But she got up close and very personal with him recently. Advent is here. Advent starts the fourth Sunday before Christmas, today. Advent is a season of expectation and preparation as the church prepares to celebrate the coming, which is the word Adventus, I presume in Latin, linguists? Presume it's Latin, Adventus, of Christ in his incarnation. Incarnation, that's when God became man, God incarnate in the birth of Jesus Christ. And also, as well as that first coming of God as man in Christ, we look to the second coming, to the final advent, when Jesus comes again. The lighting of candles on an advent wreath was imported into Britain from Northern Europe in the 19th century, and we light one each Sunday and one on the big day itself, Jesus' birthday. Today's candle stands for hope. Here are some verses from Colossians which talk about this hope, also featured in the Graham Kendrick song. This is Paul writing to the Colossians. I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you hope of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So God chose to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ. Christ, born at Christmas, came to make known the mystery of God and to reveal that mystery that was hidden for centuries. But the hope of God, if you notice, the hope of glory, if you notice in the passage, isn't Christ himself only, but Christ in you. That's part of the mystery of how God works. That's the hope of glory. True hope for you and for the rest of mankind is found when we fully realize Christ in us and share the truths, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us, so that we may present perfect in Christ when he comes again through his work in us. So, let's light the candle, Sally. Thank you. So as we light this candle of hope and wait together over these four Sundays with anticipation, we can celebrate his first coming on Christmas Day, as well as wait with hope for his second coming. Do come and have a look. What I should say is, how beautiful is this Advent wreath? Thank you for everybody that's worked so hard to create it.
Fantastic. I'm looking around to see if Harriet Sowerby is here. She is. All right, Harriet just wants to come and share. Yeah, come. Just wants to come and share something for us to pray about as a church family. I think it's a little bit of good news, isn't it?
Hello. I have been given permission to set up a Christian club here at Somerville School for all of the students. So I'm just basically giving a notice now. I'd like to see everybody here at church who comes to Somerville at it. It's on a Thursday lunchtime in my art room at 12:40. And also bring anybody that you think would be interested in coming along to it. It's called Amazing Grace Club. I think it's going to be exciting. It's a nice time as well to do it, because obviously around the Christmas period. So, starting this week, please, I'd love it if you come along.
Great. Thank you. Fantastic. That's exciting, isn't it? God has brought Harriet here, part of his plan for her, but also part of his plan for where we are and some of our young people. So, good. Okay, we are going to worship Jesus together. In the flow of this worship, we're going to be singing one of the songs that's been chosen by somebody being baptized today. It's Daisy, and it's going to be God, I Look to You. I think we're going to take an offering during this first song as well. And if you're a guest here this morning, I would encourage you, don't give anything to the offering, because you probably don't know what you're giving to, so you need to find out a little bit more before you put anything in there. Otherwise, give as you like. It's part of our worship. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this. We're gonna sing This Is Amazing Grace.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Oh, hello. That's working all right, isn't it? So, a couple of weeks back, my heart broke because we lost one of the greats. Can anyone tell me who this is? Who can tell me who that is? Stan Lee. Stan Lee. Now, Stan created the Fantastic Four back in 1961, and then he went on, as you know, to create loads of superheroes that we've loved and we've watched in movies over the years. One of my favourites was born in August 1962, and in March 1963, the Amazing Spider-Man comic first hit the shelves, and it cost 12 cents. Do you remember that? By the way, right, little tangent, do you know a Beano now costs £2.75? Exactly. Got a subscription to that, fortunately, her grandmother. But Spidey went on to become one of the most kind of loved and successful superheroes that Marvel ever made. And as more and more people fell in love with Stan's creations, they would try and meet him, and they would try and get somehow closer to the creator, and they would ask him questions and get him to put his signature on the stuff that they loved. But I think that's kind of a funny thing to do, to get people to put signatures on things. Why do people want signatures on stuff? What is it about having something extra on your comic? And you can see that one there has been signed by Stan. Is it proof, essentially, that you met the creator so that you can boast to your friends? Possibly. But I think there's something in the creator's signature about giving something massive value, because it says that the creator has been directly connected to their creation. And that's what it's really about. Because it's weird that the value in this Spider-Man comic has been there all along. Stan was already connected to Spider-Man. He'd made him. He drew the pictures. It was his handiwork. The comic that we've all held didn't actually need anything added to it. The difference is the value comes about because we as people realize the value of it. We see that it is special and rare. We see that Stan was special and unique. Those original sketches that he did are a one-off. There's never been, or will there ever be, another Spider-Man number one. And when Stan died, his contribution added even more value. So what is the value of a Spider-Man number one comic? Well, that depends on how you look at it, you see. Because in one way, it's a few pieces of paper, and it's pretty worthless. But I suppose you could say that the comic is pretty unique, and it's rare, so that does add some value to it. And then we have to kind of recognise that actually, it was created by a great man. Well, that adds some value as well, I suppose. But then you add the creator's signature to it. Well, if you put all that together, and then you add how much Spidey was loved by everyone, well, I can tell you this. A Spider-Man number one in its best condition with Stan's signature on it will cost you about £28,000 now. Interesting, isn't it? So, what on earth has all that got to do with baptism, I hear you say? It's a good point. Well, I think baptism is us and our friends here who are going to be baptized seeing the Creator's signature. We're recognizing the value of what he's done. The fact that he was there in the beginning. He was the Creator. We recognize that he's here now as well. The fact that his hand has already been on these people here today. And they've chosen to give their life to the Lord Jesus. The fact that these people who have died to sin and have chosen their Creator's way are seeing the autograph of God on their lives. I suppose in some ways, and you might get upset with me about this, in some ways you could say these ladies are all pretty average. Maybe you could say that there's a lot of people like the four ladies who are going to be baptized today. But if you take another look and you see that actually they are unique and they're rare and there's no one quite like them, and then you see that they're connected to the Creator, and when we look even closer, you can see the mark of Jesus on them. Put all that together and the true value of these women starts to shine through. See, that is how gracious God is, that his signature was there all along, but today we see it and we see its value and we understand that its value is forever. You will never see a price on these ladies like you would with Spider-Man number one, because as Jesus died, he looked at them and he said, priceless. He said, priceless. So why baptism? Baptism is a response to seeing ourselves through God's eyes and saying, I want anything that is in the way between me and my Creator to die, and I want to live like the superhero you created me to be. And so we echo God's voice today for these four amazing women, and we say, priceless, priceless, priceless. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, it's amazing, this story of what God does in people's lives. We have a real living God who affects our lives, changes us. And I was just sitting there thinking how the Bible's full of stories of where Jesus has met people. And a beautiful part of this service this morning is we get to hear the story of what Jesus has done in the lives of the people getting baptized. For me, I've got to say, this is kind of the highlight. I love it when you hear what God's done with someone. Daisy, I'm going to invite you to come up first. You're going to come and read your testimony. This is good. Daisy's a little bit nervous, aren't you, I think? A little bit. Not nervous? No, not nervous. That's not the word. But this is fantastic. Okay, okay, hold on a minute. It's going to come up on the screen in a Spanish translation, is that right? Okay, good. For your mum, who's over there, is that right? Okay, see you in a
minute. I am Daisy, originally from Colombia, South America. I've been living in the UK for the past 16 years. I've got two wonderful daughters. I am grateful that I grew up in a family with high values, very caring, and very close to each other. I attended Mass at our local Catholic church from an early age. I was baptized in the Catholic Church when I was a baby, and it is as it is the tradition. However, when I grew up, I didn't agree with some of the ceremonial rituals and practices, and I started disengaging from church. As I walk apart from Jesus, the gap and the awareness that God is a compassionate and understanding Father grew bigger and bigger, leading me to a very bumpy ride in my life with lots of obstacles, frustrations, and falls. When I arrived to England, I was looking for that connection again, but unfortunately, I couldn't find it, or I wasn't open to it. And my life continued without direction. In 2008, through MFest, my mom, who doesn't speak English, became friends with Joe, Margaret, Rachel, Angela. We felt very welcome. As the time passed, I started being interested in Wellington Baptist Church. I wanted to experience that peace and joy, that something that I could see in these new friends. I did the Alpha course a few years ago. I started attending church, where I finally felt enriched with the things I was listening. I did attend a house group, and this year, during summer, I did the Keys to Freedom course, which is an 8-week course that educates, equips, and empowers you with God in different areas, such as recognizing God's voice, committing and connecting fully to Christ, renewing your mind, choosing to forgive, healing life's hurts, breaking generational patterns, using your authority in Christ, and maintaining lifelong freedom. This course was fundamental in this journey and in my life in general. It helped me to remove lots of roots I had. Some I had realized and some I didn't even think was relevant. All of these have opened my eyes and I have rediscovered that God is a loving Father, that He loves me, and that He has walked with me all the time, even in so many difficult situations when I thought I was on my own. I had a reconciliation with God and now a closer relationship with Jesus. Being baptized today, in this moment in my life, is very important for me, as I feel that my faith is stronger and I've got a direction in my life now. Wellington Baptist Church is my family in England, and I feel very blessed, supported, and loved. Thank you all.
Thank you, Daisy. Still going. We'll have a chance to pray with Daisy when she's being baptized. So if you feel God saying anything to you as you listen to her testimony, hold it for a minute and we will pray together when she's been baptized. Okay, thank you, Daisy. And now I'd like to invite Hattie to come up. I've not heard this testimony yet, so because I've been away somewhere, so I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, most of you know me, but in case you don't, my name is Harriet, and I've been part of Wellington for all of the 17 3/4 years of my life. My journey with God began pretty much as soon as I was born. I was raised in a Christian family, so I've always been aware of God in my life. After going to Sunday school and learning about God, at 7 years old, I came home from a church weekend away and chose to give my life to Jesus. And my parents actually got me a really expensive plastic ring afterwards, which I brought with me. Doesn't fit my hand anymore. Throughout my childhood, I loved church and I always tried to live out my faith and explore what it means to follow Jesus. But I did have a bit of a limited understanding. When I started secondary school, I learned that choosing to follow God was not always easy. For the first time, out of recent situations. I was facing situations that challenged my faith.
People weren't always so accepting, and not necessarily because of my faith. Not very nice. Trying to figure out who you are as you develop into a young person is difficult, and I think that if you have experienced what it's like to do this whilst also following Jesus, you know that it makes it even more difficult. I found secondary school really tough for a multitude of reasons, and felt really hurt, lonely, and lost a lot of the time, which made me angry with God.
There were several times where I gave up and tried to get away from God, but I really couldn't. I found two things. Firstly, a big part of me still belonged to him. We actually had a term that we developed in youth group called a God conscience, which is where you make faith-based decisions unintentionally because you have God inside you. And the second thing I learned is that no matter where I was, what I did, or how I felt, he was always there. One of my favourite verses really pointed this out to me, and that's Psalms 139, verse 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Looking back, I can see now that God has blessed me with a loving family, amazing youth leaders, great friends from church, and a huge church family, which is you, who have supported me along the way. I know that if it hadn't been for them and you, I would be a very different person today. In particular, and I know I'm going to embarrass her, my friend Jazz. She was the only friend that I had in school who I knew I could be completely open with and who could fully empathise with the same tough experience as me. Her friendship is a clear example to me that God does love me and never leaves me on my own. After finishing school almost 2 years ago, I was looking forward to a better chapter in my life. But after being nudged by the Holy Spirit at Soul Survivor, which is a big Christian festival for young people that we attend as a youth group, I had one of the most exhausting cries I've ever experienced. I took my youth leader Sharon aside and spoke with her, but mainly cried and snotted. We both knew that I had to confront some of the feelings that I had about myself and my faith that were holding me back. I know that I'll remember that chat for the rest of my life. When I got back from Soul Survivor, I undertook some counselling almost immediately, and I not only learned how to deal with the anxiety I had been experiencing, but I also saw so clearly how God views me. Since then, I've been reflecting on what role my faith plays in my life and what it really means to me. Although I know that the commitment I made when I was 7 was definitely real, I now have a much fuller understanding of faith. I fully accept that what I have is not my parents' faith or something just reserved for Sundays. It is a way of life that I have chosen, and that is why I want to get baptised today. God calls us to believe and be baptised, and even though I still get things wrong, have questions about God, and don't spend enough time praying or reading my Bible every day, I fully believe that he loves me, he is with me, and he is for me. By making this commitment before my friends and church family today, I look forward to continuing my journey with God and getting to know him even more. Thank you.
Okay, you're doing well. If your eyes are dry, well done you. We've got two more amazing stories of God's goodness to go. Jenny, would you come and share your story with us?
Hi. I don't want to talk too much about my past, other than it was not pleasant and there was no God in it. God was not allowed in our house as I was growing up. Yeah, And there was no Bible, and there was no discussion about God. What little experience of God came from school assemblies, the Lord's Prayer from dinner time at school, and I was allowed to church parade with brownies and guides, as long as my father didn't have to take me. Bizarrely, this was a Baptist church, and I remember it being a happy place with lots of singing and instruments. But life continued with church as a place for weddings and for funerals and for Christmas services. And a move to Dubai removed this little contact completely. I always say about Dubai that there is no God and very little Allah, and it's very akin to the scriptures in Revelations. After much pain and loss, including a marriage and the relationship with my son and a new start at life, I started looking for a God of my understanding. My journey to today started with a God of the universe, of the trees, the flowers, the birds, the animals, the sky, not necessarily the cold and the rain. And I looked at many different faiths, and I took what I liked from them, but mainly centering on the Buddhist faith. And then in France, in 2014, a friend suggested that I go on a ladies' retreat that was being held by her church. And desperate for some peace, I went. There were 14 ladies, and our scripture for the weekend was the prodigal daughter. We started the weekend with an A4 piece of card and a gold thread to represent our journey to God. And we had to find pictures and words that represented us in magazines and newspapers. And when I looked at everybody else's, I realised that I had no loving words or pictures. And as I turned the page in the magazine, I found the word love in black letters, which was exactly how I felt. We looked at that scripture from all angles, and for a very small parable, there is an awful lot in it. And it nearly broke me looking at the mother's role in her waiting. And thankfully, I managed to speak to Charlotte, the deacon who was leading the weekend, who told me that I had to tell God that I was angry. And this came as a huge shock that I was allowed to say such a thing. From there, I started going to the church, an Anglican English church in France, where I met two of my friends who are here today. And it's all very odd. It was all very odd. That up-down service, finding my place in the yellow service book, the miserable hymns, sorry. But they welcomed me. They welcomed me. They included me and they loved me. They signed me up for the Alpha course, and that had me when Russell Brand talks about the hole in the soul in the first week, because I definitely had something missing in me. I loved the course and I didn't want it to end. One man had just lost his wife to cancer in the space of 12 weeks and he didn't manage to finish the course. Tony, a lovely man in his 70s, who had always had God in his life, just came to make sure that he'd been doing it right. We used to have lunch before it, and one day I was sitting next to someone that I didn't know. He asked me if I was enjoying the course, and I explained that I loved the spiritual part of it, but I didn't enjoy that church part, the up-downness of it, not understanding the sermon and the miserableness of the hymns. And then I thought to ask who he was. And he turned out to be the retired vicar of the church. I cannot tell you how distraught I was, but the others, they just laughed and said that he needed to hear that. And before I left, I have to say that I got very used to the up-downness of the service and the finding my place in the yellow book, and it became very comforting. But it was suggested that when I came back to England, I find a free church, which I did, and I loved it. But it was very different from France. It was very happy-clappy and very young and far from what I was used to. I looked at a church in Frome and I felt very unwelcome and gave up my search for many months. Coming up to Christmas last year, I had made a wall hanging for church in France, which I expected them to hang in their upper room. There should be a photograph of it. I was extremely ill by this point, and the tablets I was taking were not helping, and they were making things much worse. And after a particularly bad day, something told me to open my emails. And there was a thank you from the church and a photograph of it on the lectern, which was awesome. And I knew that the knowledge that I was with them was hugely important to me. So now they had saved me twice. A few weeks before this, I'd found Welton Church on the internet and I liked what I found, but I hadn't been able to come because of the snow. So after my email from France, I decided to come the following morning, which was your nativity last year, and I knew that I had come home. You blew me away with your welcome and the offers of help when you found out about my surgery. There is so many of you that spoke to me and I had no idea who you were. I cannot thank you for that welcome and your encouragement in my journey. I have started the Keys to Freedom course, which was one of the hardest and the best things that I've ever done. There was every emotion from elation to despair and all the others in between, and worse for me, that of making myself vulnerable. And in the course of my journey, I've gone from trying to run for an exit at the mention of prayer. The first time Hazel asked me if she could pray for me, I said yes, thinking she'd pray for me that night before bed. Oh no. She put her hands on me, on my shoulders, and prayed for me there and then, and I couldn't run because she was holding me down. Nowadays, I can stay in my seat and occasionally say one in the presence of others. And I've gone from no Bible to one being beside my bed, from not knowing where the books are in it, to knowing that there's 66 of them. I've found my proverb, "She's clothed in strength and dignity and laughs without fear of the future," from Proverbs 31. And I found my psalm, Psalm 34, which I found when I was reading the Psalms to my mum. I've gone from knowing no scripture to asking, what does the Bible say whenever I'm stuck with something? We found some very interesting things last week on the difference between God's will and my will. And whilst doing the equip course, I found out that my mum, who I've not seen for 12 years, had a brain tumour and was in a hospice in Leeds where she wasn't expected to live. I went several times, we made our peace, and I know that she loves me and she knew that I loved her. And she knows that I'm happy and that I've found God. It was here that I knew that God was with me, because all the while that I was dealing with my father, I knew that I wasn't alone. I knew I was safe and I was protected and I was loved, a feeling that I had never known before. I returned home with the realization that God was there all the time. I just had to trust him. And I was able to say my prayer to Jesus, which I had not been able to do before, and to make my commitment to God. There are many songs I love to choose from. Reckless Love is hugely important because it was the first song that I connected with. Born Again was playing when I signed my commitment to God. But my song at the moment is Build My Life, because that's where I am. My journey has been a long one and a struggle in so many ways. I talk to God, don't pray. And I forget on a regular basis and then wonder why I don't feel like I'm supposed to, and I know that I can. I know I've changed in a very short time, and sometimes I wonder where my words have come from. And out there in the world, when people tell me their fear of God, I laugh and I say, God doesn't want you on your knees. He just wants a conversation with you and for you to be with him. So I thank you for all your support, your guidance, your patience and your love. Because without it, I wouldn't be standing here and about to take this huge step. Thank you.
Oh, it's good, isn't it, what God does in our lives? Okay, we got one more to go. We saved the best till last, I think, Margaret. Margaret's going to come and share her story. Just to give you a little heads up as she's coming, we decided with Margaret that we would baptise her somewhere else, but video it. So a little bit later on when we do the baptisms, we've got the privilege of seeing you on video being baptised. But please come and share your precious story with us. She said she wished she'd gone first. We all know she's going to be amazing, don't we? We love you and we're looking forward to this.
Hold the microphone nice. Yeah,
thank you. My name is Margaret Leeson. I'm mum of Joanna and mother-in-law of Matthew and grandma to lots of children, but my real grandchildren are Holly, Hattie, Will, and of course Dillis the dog. You all know her. I was born in Nuneaton, Warwickshire, to Elizabeth and Joseph Arnold, and I had one older brother and four sisters. I left school at 15 and worked in a chemist for my first job. Most of my working career, I was a dental nurse, where I was very happy. I was married to Bob in 1959. And in 1968, we adopted a son, Nicholas, who lives... lives in the Forest of Dean, and then in 1970, Joanna came along, but she was homemade. As children, Bob and I both attended church regularly and continued as a married couple, but stopped going in 1962 when we moved to Dorking with his job. We only attended church when we went back home to Nuneaton to visit families, and at Christmas time, Easter, and all that sort of thing. We moved to Cheltenham in 1964, and in 1968, Nick was dedicated as a baby back at our home church in Nuneaton. We naturally wanted Joanna dedicated when she came along, so we approached our local Baptist church. They were happy to oblige, providing we attended their services. So we went along as a family, but Joanna always screamed the place down when she went to the creche. I've lost my place now, Jo. Where am I? Over here. So I had to take her home and leave the rest of the family at church. I didn't always want to get along to the services due to my high-maintenance daughter. However, as time went on, we were able to attend once again as a family whilst the children were young. I can't remember why I stopped going to church, but for many years it was just Bob who went on his own. And as the children grew up, I had more time to start getting involved with church life again. Although, looking back, it was really for more social reasons. I started ferrying various people to church services as they were an elderly congregation. I didn't really have much knowledge about Jesus and certainly didn't have a personal relationship with him. I was really just a churchgoer, and actually looking back, I had only ever been a churchgoer for all my life. As time went on, I once again stopped going to church for a while. And in April 2006, Bob was...
In April 2006, Bob was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, which was a complete shock, especially as he was generally fit and a non-smoker. He died in December of that year, but his funeral service was a real celebration of his life, and it was a real comfort to know that his faith means that I am certain that he is with Jesus now.
Yeah. After Bob had died, I regularly came to visit Joanna and the family, and during the summer of 2007, I was here for Big Top Week, which was Welton's week-long holiday club, in a big marquee where the AstroTurf court is now. After 5 days of madness and mayhem in the kids' club, Big Dave and Louise Gould were just closing the event, and Louise invited the children for one last time to say that special prayer. inviting Jesus into their lives and asking him to be their special friend. Although I wasn't a child, I said the prayer in my head and heart, but didn't feel it was appropriate to go forward with the other children. They were all taller than me anyway. Where am I now? Yeah. That afternoon, whilst we were having our picnic on the field, Louise said to me that it was about time I gave my life to Jesus. And she got a real shock when I told her that I had, and so did everyone else who sat around me. There were lots of tears of happiness that lunchtime. In 2008, I sold my house in Cheltenham and moved to be near Joanna and the family, including Ronnie and Chaz. They adopted me, didn't you, Chad? Since then, I've been coming to Walton Baptist Church and involved in church life, but not as a churchgoer this time, but as a Christian. I joined Christianery and Rachel Middleton's house group, and they made me feel very welcome. And I soon felt part of this amazing church family. I am now part of Delta House Group, who are an amazing lot of friends and ladies. These last 10 years have been a very special time for me, as I've learnt more about the Bible, about Jesus and the love of God, and I'm grateful to be amongst some very special friends at church and in my house group. So why has it taken me 10 years to be baptised? Aquaphobia. I was terrified of going under the water, but Joe and Matt were like a dog with a bone. They refused to let me stop being obedient to Christ. It's all right. Me being obedient to Christ, and found a way for me to take this very important step. So on the 18th of October, the day before my
80th
birthday, where am I now? They arranged for my house group to be held at their house and organised a birthday lunch for us. They borrowed Tracy and Jason's hot tub. Are they here today? Yes, can't see them. Anyway, yeah. And just before we sat down to eat, Joanna surprised everybody by announcing that I was going to be baptised there and then. You'll see from the video we're about to show, it was such a perfect day for it. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I had my close friends and family with me. They gently lowered me into the water, and I can honestly say I felt absolutely no fear. I have felt such a difference being baptised. I have an amazing feel of contentment for God's love for me, from the warmth and love of my church family, and have realised how much I've missed all these years. Still, I think I have proved that you're never too old to change. Thank you.
Oh, don't you just love God and love our church? It's just great, isn't it? Okay, now, I'm hoping that you found a few reasons there to worship. Amen? A few reasons to really lift our voices. Going to invite the worship band to come back. And we're going to sing a couple of worship songs, one that's chosen by Hattie, that's This Is Our God, and one that's been chosen by Jenny. I want to encourage you to really, really worship God together. Whilst we're doing that, the guys are getting baptised. They're going to get themselves ready. Okay, so let's go for it. Thanks, Will, and you guys. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to build our lives on you. Amen. Do grab your seats. So we've come to that lovely moment where we get to baptize our friends, our family, and stand with them in their commitment to making Jesus the Lord of every bit of their lives. We're going to show the video of Margaret getting baptized. little while ago. And then what we're going to do after each person has been baptized, we're going to have time where we just pray for them. It's not going to be a long time, but it's going to be a really focused time where we say, Lord Jesus, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on each of these women? And we're going to have a chance as well, if the Lord gives you a scripture, a prophetic word, something to build up and encourage that person. I want to really encourage you. We are family. So be brave. Don't hold back. Don't sit there and think, oh, maybe. All right, we're going to share those things with these guys as we pray this morning. So first of all, let's have the video, and then we'll pray for Margaret. Okay, for being so courageous, we get double prayer for Margaret. All right. So I'm going to invite you, Delta, in Margaret's small group, come and stand with her. House group leaders, people that know and love this woman, so many of you, come forward. Kids, you can come forward as well. We're going to pray. Anybody that would like to pray for Margaret, we're going to let you go for that. And if the Lord gives you a scripture, a prophetic word, share it. Okay.
Margaret, I just felt as you shared this morning and as you spoke about how you feel different since you've been baptized. And there was a bit of a joke about Moses' ministry, but I really felt God saying that the best is yet to come. And that the fears that you have broken by taking this step is just the beginning of you coming into new things in God and a greater freedom and a greater acknowledgement and recognition of how much he really loves you as his daughter. So bless you.
Perfect love drives out fear. And I just, the word freedom for you, and the picture of like the bath tunnels when you go through this darkness and then there's light and there's an amazing and exciting and God-planned and ordained adventure for you. So I speak freedom to you, Margaret, in Jesus' name.
Margaret, I just want to pray for you and thank you for being such a wonderful part of Delta. We just thank you that the Lord Jesus means so much to each one of us, and just see how God has led you to this step. And I'm so pleased for you and for us. And we just thank you that the best is yet to come. Amen.
Let's stretch out our hands to Margaret. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill her. Matt and I were praying for you on the way home last night at midnight, so we'd kind of, you know, we're struggling a bit, but we came alive when we were praying. And just a strong sense to you, Margaret, of when you open your mouth, God's going to speak through you. I think he does already, but there's something about your words that are going to become more and more and more like Jesus as you speak to other people. And we see it already, don't we? But we just say, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill Margaret, the step that she's taken today? We say, Holy Spirit, would you honor this daughter that you love, this woman that you call friend, and this woman that is the scripture that says, open your mouth and I will fill it. We say in Jesus' name, as Margaret speaks, let the love and truth, the kindness of God flow from this woman, that she would see with her eyes people's lives touched by her words. And we believe, Margaret, that God is going to use you even more than you'd possibly imagine. And we say, Spirit of God, fill her so that she's actually looking ready for those moments when God will speak through her. And we say, we as her church, as her family, we're ready. We want to hear the voice of God through this woman that we love and trust and respect. Lord, in Jesus' name, fill her with your Spirit and give her an excitement about how you will use her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Margaret. Okay, Mike Hal, who led this church amazingly for many years, is here, and it's great. He's going to be baptizing Daisy with Joe. And so if you guys want to come and jump in the pool, that would be really good. But don't jump. Just gently climb in. Okay, at this point, we've got real living water, all right, here. Nothing holy about it. But it would be great if the kids want to come down and watch. Any kids and youth want to come down, anybody at all, get the front, that'd be good. You might get a splash, which is always good fun. And I'm going to ask friends, family, those that know Daisy, and anybody that would love to, any of our house group leaders particularly, just come down and be ready to pray. When she comes up out of the water, we're going to pray straight away. So just come down now if you would. Come around this way, this side, so people can see.
Daisy, do you believe in the Lord, Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
On confession of your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I just pray for Daisy. I pray for the person that she is, for the joy that she brings us, Lord. I pray for more of that joy in her life. I thank you for this amazing step that she's taken today. I pray that you just pour out your blessing onto her and fill her with your joy. We've seen that so much over the last few years of knowing her, Lord, and I pray that you increase that in her, Lord. Amen.
Daisy, it's a new day. It's a new day. The old has gone and the new has come, and it's come to stay. And I believe God is bringing you into new things. And just as I believe a caterpillar can't understand what it might be like to fly and to become that butterfly, God is taking you from that place of feeling like nothing was possible for everything being possible in him. Lord, I pray that you would remove that word of impossible from her mind where it stops her, and bring her into that recognition of all that is possible in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Daisy, he oído de Dios solo una palabra. Dios dice, dígame, dígame. ¿Entiendes? Sí. Pero, yeah. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him.
Daisy, I've been praying for you this week in preparation for today, and the Lord just showed me a series of stepping stones and said that the Lord had been with you as you stepped on each one of them as life has gone on the journey that you've been with him. But he also showed me that the next few are not going to be so easy to see until you step out. It's only as you step out that those stepping stones become clear. The Lord wants you to make some steps of faith. And he'll show you what they are, but those stepping stones are there. Trust him. But you need to step out in order to see them and to experience them. But God has great things for you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Daisy, I've just been reminded, you often talk about the Latin blood that runs through your veins, and I just have a real sense that not only is it your Latin blood that runs through your veins, but it's Jesus' blood that covers you. And Lord, I just thank you for that price you paid on the cross, because you love Daisy and you wanted to be in a relationship with Daisy. Thank you for the blood that you shed for her so that she can have this relationship with you. And she's found you, Lord. And I pray that she will walk really closely to you. And I thank you for the pictures that you've given her over this last year. And the very special one of you holding her hand, walking through quite difficult terrain. I pray that she'll always remember that picture. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, Daisy. I don't know you very well, but when I was sitting down there and they were baptising you, I had this picture of a light, and Jesus talks about you don't cover a light. It shines. And the Lord says you are going to shine. It's not going to require lots of effort. It's because of your obedience, you will shine before people who don't know him, and they will learn about him from you. Okay. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Wonderful. Bless you, Daisy. That's great. Good. Okay, we've got Hattie next. Mike and Matt are going to do a tag team. Hattie, do you want to come? All right, so I'm reckoning that a bunch of the youth need to get down here. You guys, come on. Anybody else that wants to come, well, as soon as Hattie comes up, we're going to pray. So come, let's gather around.
Okay, Hattie, this is obviously amazing for us. We are praying for you this morning that you'd know God's Holy Spirit touch you as you're baptized as well. And we see this in Scripture loads of times. Whenever people are baptized, God's Holy Spirit comes on them. And we're praying for that for you this morning. Hattie, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
On your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, squeeze in, gather around. We're going to pray for Hattie. Speak out any prophetic words, scriptures that you want to pray for her. Come a bit closer, some of you guys. Come on. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint Hattie. And Lord, just as we were heading home last night and again this morning, just a sense that you, in the amazing way that you do, you take what we believe and you bring it to life. And we just say, Holy Spirit, would you take what this collection of truth that Hattie has said, this is what I believe. And Father, we pray that she will see it with her eyes. And Father, just the word that keeps on coming back for me is confidence, confidence in the Holy Spirit that actually isn't afraid of anything. And it's a big prayer, Lord, but we pray it over Hattie that she will not be afraid of anything, but there will be a confidence in her God that the rest of us stand back and say, oh my goodness, what has God done? And so we say, Holy Spirit, would you come now? And we pray that you will bring that confidence that her God is able. Her God is able. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord.
Hattie, when I was praying for you, I also had the word confidence in my head. And just that passage from Romans saying that you're confident that nothing can separate you from God's love. So I just want to pray that over you. Lord, I pray again for that confidence, for that solidness in faith that knows that no matter what happens in this world, that you are loved and you are God. He's called you His, and I just pray for again just for that confidence. Amen.
Harriet, you are so special to the Lord. He loves you so much, and He is so proud of you that you are doing this for Him today. He is so pleased with you. Jesus is here right now with us, and He is so pleased. And there is rejoicing right now in heaven, Lord, for these people being baptized. And Harriet, you are the Lord's special pot. Lord Jesus, I just pray for Harriet's journey with you, that it will go from strength to strength, Lord. We ask for all your power and authority to be over Harriet. Lord, as she starts her journey at college, I just pray for every success, Lord, in her life. And Lord, that you will be with her every day, living inside of her, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for Harriet for making this step today. And Lord Jesus, amazing, exciting. Thank you, Lord.
Hattie, I've told this story before, but you remember before we moved here from Kent, we listened a lot to podcasts from searching for a church and found Worton Baptist. And I can remember the time, it must have been 2010, 11, I don't know, that I heard you and Shona speaking on the tape. And I just pray that you'll feel that confidence that you had then, where confidence has been mentioned a lot today, that you know that you had such confidence then, and that it's always with you. And you know, it was just such an encouragement to me. And when we came and I realized that you were just a little girl then, you know, and look at you now and look at the journey, you know, and it's been lovely to see you grow up and grow into the Lord. So God bless you.
Just want to reassure you, Hattie. I think God wants to reassure you. I was standing quite far back, and from there, I had this bright light shining at me. And it was from Scott's watch face. And it just made me think. I think God was talking about you reflect His glory. You don't need to strive to try to do that. You do that because of who you are, because you've been created by Him. But what did happen was it changed depending on where Scott's hand was as he was focusing the camera. And what matters is your positioning. As long as you are facing him, you reflect his glory and you shine light into people's lives around you. God bless you.
Father, thank you for the joy of having watched this beautiful young lady grow up in you. Thank you for the joy of seeing her blossom in confidence. Thank you for the joy of seeing her lead EnFest and lead worship. Father, I'm just so excited to see where you're taking her next. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you that you are the Lord and the gentle shepherd who is going to gather up any loose ends that are left over from Hattie's sad time at school. And I want to just bring that scripture that that you restore the years the locusts have eaten. And I just thank you that nothing is ever wasted in your kingdom, and that Harriet will go forward and go forward knowing you and growing in her skills and her understanding of life as well as in her knowledge of you. Amen.
Okay, I had these verses for you when I was thinking about you and praying about today. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze. Yeah. Fix your gaze directly ahead of you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. I'll write it in a card, it'll sound better. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've put in Hattie's heart, that she's got this steadfast heart which is fixed on you. Lord, I pray that we know there's a real enemy and he wants to destroy and tear down. Lord, I thank you that Hattie can keep her eyes on you, that she can keep on this straight path, keep her 30 feet from the left or the right, just keep going. Lord Jesus, bless her. Lord, bless people through her. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I just had a word from God, Hattie, and I think it's from God, and just the word integrity, and he sees your integrity, and he loves it. So keep going.
Amen.
So it was just one sentence, and it's from an old song from Delirious, and it's shine with the face of Christ divine. And yeah, Father, we just pray that Hattie, whatever she's doing, wherever she is, that it would be her face that shines for you. Yeah, Jesus, thank you.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Fantastic. Amen. Well done, Hattie. That's great. All right, Jenny.
Okay, do be ready to pray. If you've not made it as a front and you still feel like you've got something you'd like to share, do give us a wave or bring a mic over. It'd be really great for everyone to join in. Okay.
Jenny, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
On confession of your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Jesus, we thank you for this journey that Jenny's been on, the different ways she's seen you, the different places she's been. We thank you for this church where she didn't feel completely comfortable, but then she was welcomed and she felt warm and loved. Lord, we thank you that you've been with her all this time. She's never been away from you. You've always been there just waiting for her to find you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this journey. Amen.
Father, we thank you for Jenny, and we thank you, Lord, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you, Lord, for this path, this journey that Jenny's on, and for today. We pray, Lord, that you would refresh her and fill her with your Holy Spirit. You would bring encouragements to her and just show her, Lord, the next step that you have for her. But we thank you for her, and we thank you that she's a part of Data House Group. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jenny, I feel the Lord's given you the scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
And I feel that as you increase your love for him, so he will strengthen you and you will be such a witness to those around you. So, Lord, we just pray that onto Jenny now in Jesus' name, and just thank you for this special day. Thank you for this witness that she already is to those around. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing her to Welton. And, Lord, we just look forward to all the gifts and seeing how you're going to work through her. So we pray your blessing on her now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jenny, when you shared in your testimony about the word love being in black letters, I just saw now as you were in that water and you went underneath, there was fireworks going up and those letters changed from black to light. There's so much light you can't see them and they're sparkling. And that light is going to shine and sparkle out of you to all the people that you're going to come around, because God's love for you is just going to grow more and more. And I know my arms aren't his, but I just have to give you a hug because he loves you so much.
Jenny, I believe the Lord gave me these words for you yesterday. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
I just don't know you well, Jenny, but I just got the idea of a radio. It's a bit of an old-fashioned picture, but a picture of people coming around a radio to hear a really important broadcast. And I just want to encourage you that listening to you today, I think you are someone who delivers a message of hope to people, and that you will be a broadcaster for Christ, speaking to people about who he is and what he's done for you. And I'm excited to see that happen.
Just want to say, I had a very similar thing, not a radio, but I had a picture of people coming and gathering around you, and the scripture that says faith comes by hearing. And I had a sense that your love for the word, you notice that she talked about the Bible and how she's seeing God in it. I think God is going to amaze you with the faith that comes to other people when they gather around you. And can I just pray that for you? Lord, I believe those that already in Jenny's circle of love and friendship, they're going to see more of Jesus because of her words of faith. And faith will come by hearing the word of God through Jenny. And I pray for those around Jenny that there'd be this excitement about getting close to God because they're close to Jenny. And those that haven't met Jenny yet and will meet her, Lord, I pray that there'll be person after person that will experience the love and the truth of God, and that they would have faith that rises up just because they've spent time with Jenny, like that picture, people sat around a radio. And I pray for Jenny that you keep her heart humble, keep her passionate about you, so that she'll always be that woman that gives the glory back to God and says, look what God's done, look what he's done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Jenny, you said in your testimony that you didn't pray much, but you talked to Jesus. And Jesus wants to say to you that the heart desire to talk to him is the very foundation and essence of prayer. It doesn't have to be in a formula. It just comes from your heart. And that desire to talk to him is so special and so precious. And he is going to be walking with you and sitting with you and shopping with you. And everything that you do, he's just there for you to talk to. And as you talk to him, make sure that you leave pauses for him to talk back to you. And have the confidence that you will hear and understand his voice as he talks to you.
Hello, Jenny. We've met briefly, haven't we, at Arise? I was just sitting there, and I suddenly had a picture. It was of a pair of wings, like swan's wings. The swan wasn't there in the middle. It was just the wings. And I think the Lord is saying that you, like other people have already said, that you are going to fly and take, in due course, the Lord's message out to other people. It's the Holy Spirit, probably. I just thought of that, you know. But it's what you're going to do. And those wings are there. Amen.
Sorry, I know you're cold. one of my favourite things of baptisms is looking how people look at each other during baptisms, how they look for your mum or your friend or your dad or something. And I've really noticed with you how you look at your friends and how your friends look at you, and it is utter love. And that is a love that is going to heal, that's going to keep getting stronger, and God is in that friendship. Yeah.
Jenny, we're so proud to be with you today and so excited to have seen you before and gradually on your journey with God, and we just pray for your continued Christian life in knowing Jesus.
Fantastic. Well done, Jenny. Just while Jenny's getting out of the water, we're almost at the end of this part of the morning. Remember, there's lunch together if you're able to stay. But one more really, really important thing. As we were praying earlier on today, we were struck by this thought that there may well be people here this morning who you haven't started your friendship with Jesus. You haven't started this journey with God. You haven't been in that place yet where you've said, God, I want to make you the Lord of my life. And we want to take just a minute before we sing our last song. And if this morning you can't say kind of with confidence, I'm a follower of Jesus, we want to give you space just to say that for the first time this morning. All right, we're not going to make you do anything, obviously. We're not going to embarrass you. And we're going to pray a quick prayer specifically for you if you're here this morning and you've not taken that step towards Jesus yet to say, Lord, would you come into my life like these four incredible women have done. And it may be this morning, you may have been around church a while, you may have not been around church at all, but it may be that you just feel something, the Lord is nudging you to say, yes, I want to make you the Lord of my life. It is the most liberating, purposeful, incredible things a human being can do. So let's just take a moment, let's pause and pray. Lord, we thank you for these incredible stories that we've heard of lives transformed, all at different stages, but this common thread of the goodness, of the love, of the kindness of God. I'm stepping in and taking the initiative and loving us first so that we can then respond to your love. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here this morning. And it's not just about those who are being baptized, but we're all here for a reason. You brought us here. You knew we'd be here today. And Father, I just pray for any of us in the room this morning, and you've brought us here with this sole purpose that we would say yes to you, that we would invite you into our lives, that we'd say yes to your forgiveness for everything that's been before, and say yes to you being the God who leads us and loves us, who speaks to us about what's next, the future, so that we can follow you and know you and get to know you. Lord, if there are some here this morning that are saying yes to that, we just pray right now, a yes back to you. We say a yes back to you. It says in the Bible that you loved us first. And so we turn our face to you and we say, yes, God, would you come into my life? Would you be the Lord of my life? Would you forgive me? Would you wash me clean? And would you give me this fresh start that is with you instead of separate from you? With you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing, but I would love to have a cup of coffee with you when we're having lunch in about 10 minutes' time and just chat to you about that decision to say, God, come into my life. Okay, let's stand together. We're going to finish by worshiping Jesus.